Hello and welcome to Business Beat, KBIA's weekly look at business and economic issues affecting Mid-Missouri. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Coming up later in the show, Harvest Public Media will report on the lasting effects of last year's flooding. But first, a Columbia lawyer is utilizing a federal program to try to bring so-called immigrant investors to Mid-Missouri. As part of KBIA's series, The China Connection, Eva Dow tells us about the EB-5 program.
We're working very closely.
When it comes to jobs in Missouri, Carla Klingner-Diaz believes that immigration is not the problem, but rather the solution. Diaz is an immigration lawyer who recently formed the Liberty Tri-State Regional Center in Columbia. The company wants to join a federal program called EB-5 that links foreign investors with U.S. businesses.
And so I've been familiar working in the EB-5 program for some time and had been watching it successfully work primarily in the coastal areas on the east and the west coast, and knew that this could be a really good opportunity in the Midwest.
Here's the way it works. Immigrants get a green card and the United States gets jobs. Foreigners who want to immigrate invest at least $500,000 in a U.S. business to create 10 new jobs. If these requirements are met, the investor gets a green card. Less than 1% of green card holders use the EB-5 route, but this little-known program is growing rapidly. Since the financial crisis 4 years ago, the number of EB-5 visas issued annually has quadrupled to 3,500. The top source of these unique EB-5 investors is China. The top reason, education. Diaz says university spots in China are hard to come by.
Right now, there's 28 million eligible college-age students with only 5 million slots available. And so families are having to seek education opportunities elsewhere in the world for their child.
On the surface, the EB-5 program sounds win-win, but the results for Missouri have been mixed so far. Missouri only has 2 approved EB-5 centers, and one of them was MamTech, which spectacularly failed. Last year, the collapse of the MamTech artificial sweetener project in Moberly left the city with an empty shell of a factory and a downgraded bond rating. Anne Lee is a China scholar at New York University. She's studying the EB-5 program.
Not all EB-5 operators are bad, but the bad apples can taint an entire program, a whole industry, and then everyone suffers.
Although the MamTech project failed, EB-5 proponents believe the program holds promise for Missouri, as long as new projects are properly vetted. Missouri businesses are continuing to eye the immigration program as a creative source of funds. The most ambitious plan? One entrepreneur, Eric Chen, plans to build an entire manufacturing town from scratch using Chinese investors' money. And he'll name this rural Missouri town Shanghai.
To have some Chinese investors come over here, set up the factories, then they can make some products made in USA and ship back to China.
Here in Columbia, business consultant Terrence Crouch is preparing far-flung trips to recruit investors for Diaz's Liberty Tri-State Regional Center. Crouch says the program's main draw is its ability to create jobs.
I think if you view the current economic and political climate, anything that is going to create good, long-lasting jobs in the United States, and we think that this program does, that it's going to continue.
As for Diaz, she believes they're at the beginning of something big.
When we started working on this, there were very few in the Midwest in general. So it's definitely becoming a program that more people are becoming aware of.
Diaz expects the Liberty Tri-State Center to be federally approved in coming months. If it is, Mid-Missouri could become the newest destination for foreign investors. Eva Doe, KBIA News.
Last fall, officials predicted that farmland along the Missouri River in Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas might be out of production for at least a year. The flood of 2011 piled up sand dunes, gouged out deep holes, and killed off many of the microbes that help crops grow. But now it's spring, and farmers are back on the land trying to fix what nature broke. Rick Fredrickson, reporting for Harvest Public Media, discovered a most unusual planting season down by the river.
There's something wrong about this picturesque farmland known as Blackbird Bend along the Missouri River near Onawa. A 24-row corn planter is brushing over the tops of an already stunning winter wheat crop 12 inches high. These 1,700 acres would make a Kansas farmer proud, but Brent Hayes is an Iowa corn farmer.
I've never seen this good a stand of wheat in our area, kind of be destroying it. It's kind of sad, but the corn will work out better for us, because I don't know how the wheat would do in the long run. I guess there's not a lot of wheat grown in our areas, so.
So right after Hayes finished planting corn on top of his wheat fields, the wheat was sacrificed. It had served its purpose, bringing life back to the land depleted by last year's Missouri River flood.
There are areas out here that have not had this duration of floodwater in something like 10,000 years.
Rich Pope with Iowa State University Extension describes the flood in almost biblical terms. Cropland that was submerged for about 3 months essentially suffocated.
The time when the last glacier was melting, the last glaciers, was when the Missouri River Valley filled. And so some of these areas out here, it's kind of a special, it's more than a once in a millennium.
There's a real sense of history as farmers glide their planters over topsoil that isn't as rich as it used to be. In Iowa alone, more than 250,000 acres of ag land were inundated, including about 10% of Dave Hausman's property. He's scraped off the sand and silt and planted oats to control erosion and restore the microorganisms. Despite 50 years of farming experience, Hausman never learned how to deal with this and joined his neighbors in seeking guidance from the experts.
We went to meetings after the flood last year. I did. They're saying that this is what you need to do in order to enhance the productivity of the following crop. So we're following their advice, and they readily admit they don't know what's going to the end result is going to be either. So,
when planting is finished, Hausman will re-enter the fields, eradicate the oats, and reclaim the land for beans.
Given the circumstances, I don't feel bad about that at all. I think that is an investment we have to make in order to try to enhance production of that ground with a primary crop, which will be soybeans.
But will it work? Can this land be productive just 1 year after the smothering flood of 2011? Iowa State's Rich Pope isn't sure.
No one that I know of in agronomic history in North America has had an experience like this. One of the comments that my colleagues and I have gone out and said, and when we're working with farmers directly, is nobody can tell you exactly what's the right thing to do, but we can give you some things to think about.
And these men of the earth are optimistic. Since this anemic soil can sustain cover crops like wheat and oats, they expect it to ultimately provide good returns again for corn and beans. Near Onawa, Iowa, I'm Rick Fredrickson for Harvest Public Media.
That's this week's Business Beat. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Thanks for listening.